Hello everyone. I hope you're doing well. I am Supriya Anchan from the Technology Advisory Team at Nextime. And welcome to another topic in our series themed Women in Technology. The aim of this initiative is to connect with women from across the globe, making a difference in their area of work. I am joined today by Nicola Komnenos, Group Chief Risk Officer at the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. Nicola comes with a rich experience of over 15 years in financial markets, group strategy, sustainability, equities, equity derivatives, and business intelligence, amongst others. Welcome to this podcast, Nicola. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks so much, Supriya. It's great to be with you.
Wow, Nicola. I mean, your experiences in the financial markets, and you've reached the highs and depths of financial market. What would you regard as your areas of specialization?
Thanks, Supriya. I think the first thing to start with is just at the moment, the work that I'm responsible for in the group CRO role. It really spans the enterprise risk management as well as business continuity management disciplines. And we've added to that also the operational resilience, crisis management and incident management framework. So it's really to create that structure and guidance across the group with our various subsidiaries. We have a number of subsidiaries within the JSE group. And so we have a stock exchange, a clearinghouse, we have a investment services business, and we actually on an acquisition spree at the moment to add to that portfolio. In terms of my background and experience, I really got my qualifications and lay the foundation in the investment side. I studied BCom Investment Management as well as my honours degree, and then became a CFA charter holder as well. So studied the CFA charter designation. And really, so my journey has been on the market side, started out on the buy side, on the product development side, and on the unit trust pricing side. And then joined the stock exchange in 2007 and really haven't looked back, been in various roles at the exchange, started off reporting into our chief operating officer, and then worked in the equities market for the bulk of my career, and then took on a combined portfolio of equities and equity derivatives for some time, looked after our hedge fund management account company. Platform, and then also, as you've mentioned, headed up business intelligence, and then also moved into group strategy and sustainability. And now I'm on the risk side. So really not a risk practitioner in terms of background, but really more a first line of defense manager for the bulk of my career. And the reality is it's all dealt really with technology, even though I'm not in a technology heavy role. All of the things that we enable through the exchange and in trading and markets is through technology. So certainly the bulk of my career working on the equity side, as well as doing lots of analytics and billing modeling and those sorts of elements has always leveraged technology.
Wow, Nicola. I mean, that transition from a pure play finance person to someone who's now the group risk officer, what are the stereotypes do you think one needs to break or shatter to be able to kind of blend in these two diverse activities or portfolios and, you know, kind of mix it together and then work and move ahead?
Sure. So I think just in terms of my career, I've really not ever seen myself as a specialist. And I think the whole concept of being seen as someone that has strong knowledge and experience in a specific subject matter is something of the past. We really are becoming experts in terms of our skill that we're bringing to the table, our critical thinking, the combination of working in different disciplines, in different asset classes. And it's really that depth and breadth of experience that then helps you with what I think is the most important thing to do in any role is really just problem solving. So for me, it's there's sort of the stereotype of markets and wanting to specifically have a trading hat on and understand where the economy is going. But the reality is the whole world is moving towards technology. And irrespective of the role that you fulfill, you have to understand what those latest trends are, what's happening in the technology space that will influence your business, and make sure that you equip yourself with those skills and tools so that you can survive in a digital world. And I think COVID has really just underlined that, where we've seen the world has become such a smaller place just because we've all started to engage virtually and online with pretty much anyone in the world at any point in time. So really need to make sure that you empower yourself with a whole combination and a toolkit of different skills and experience, and not just be focused on a single discipline.
I think this podcast today is an excellent example, because you and us are connecting on two different time zones, and it's seamless. We are speaking to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Nicola, how have you seen the transition or the evolution from a decade ago? And what do you anticipate as the areas of growth in the future?
Thanks, Supriya. I think let me just share specifically my experience in terms of working at the Stock Exchange in South Africa. And I'll probably go back a little bit more than a decade ago, over 25 years ago, because I think it's a very interesting story. I mean, we are the largest stock exchange on the African continent. We have been, at the moment, we electronically connect thousands of clients across the globe. So just as you said, you and I can be talking seamlessly across different time zones, and that's how others can also trade within our markets seamlessly across time zones. And that really includes the US market, the European markets, Middle East, Asian markets, etc. So depending on which one of the markets you look at, we have on any day somewhere between 30 and 50% of our daily trading activity comes from offshore markets. So whether it's from a European or a US or Middle East or Asian trader across the globe. And if I have to turn back the wheel of time and just take you down memory lane, and we can think about 1996, when we closed the trading floor in South Africa here at the JSE, we used to have all the stockbrokers in our building on the open outcry floor. Really, and at that stage, it's about your voice and about how fast and loud you can scream to get your trades executed. Absolutely. And being written on a board with chalk, just some lovely memories. And at that stage, only being able to execute hundreds of trades, if at that level, on a daily basis. Whereas we then moved to complete electronic trading. So since then, which is now 25 years later in 2021, we have fully electronic trading, and we run multiple markets, not just the stock exchange. We also have run the bond market, and we have four derivatives markets that we run. And if I just think about the advancement of technology and how we've migrated to different trading platforms and different clearing platforms over those 25 years, it's just really been exponential growth and completely different chalk and cheese environments when we look at it. If I can just leave you with one example. So if we just think about the blink of a human eye, how fast we blink, it takes about 350,000 microseconds. So I'm blinking slowly on purpose, but I'm just thinking how amazing it is to think about when a trade executes, it can execute within 90 microseconds, 90. So that means by the time you and I have blinked and we've had this conversation, within the blink of an eye, just one blink, thousands of trades could have matched on the trading system. So it really is just phenomenal to think about that open outcry and the guys physically on the trading floor. And now we've got technology where all of them can be electronically connected into our environment, and they can execute thousands of trades within the blink of an eye. So it really is just phenomenal. And if I just look at where the world is going, and we've spoken a little bit earlier about COVID, and it really has made the world such a smaller place. And there's lots of other types of technologies that are also really helping us leverage a completely different digital world, such as cryptocurrencies, digital currencies. We might actually not be dealing in any hard currencies anymore. We might not have different currencies being used in different countries in the future. We just don't know. There's so much disruption happening in that space. If we look at things like distributed ledger technology, blockchain being leveraged specifically in the clearing space, there's great opportunity there for real efficiencies to be gained from that. Things like artificial intelligence, robotics that's really helping to automate processes where human beings can be rather be leveraged for the more complex solving elements. And then one that we've specifically really investigating and investing in quite heavily at the JSE is our cloud computing capability, being able to run massive systems and processes from the cloud, which really just takes you to a completely different world. If we think about just 25 years ago, we still physically had the guys in our building with an open outcry system.
Wow, Nicola, that journey, I mean, you know, you're standing on two separate and two ends of the spectrum, where one side, like you said, 25 years ago, your voice determined how quick or how fast your trade is listed. Whereas today, like you said, the analogy of the blink of an eye, I mean, the number of blinks that we've had so far, I don't know how many transactions would have matched on the platform. So it's been actually absolutely phenomenal how technology has really helped us. And most importantly, how people like you, you know, have bought in that kind of, have embraced that kind of change, and you're doing so much within your workspace, taking the expertise and knowledge that you have on the finance side and trying to see how best you can fit in technology and merging the two and trying to derive the maximum. That's the kind of critical thinking of leaders or people that probably we need today. And technology is something which is helping us achieve it.
Yeah, definitely. Actually, you're just reminding me while you've mentioned that, I'm a firm believer in the concept. I don't know if you've heard of it yet. It's known as the butterfly effect. And it really expects a risk manager to essentially spread their wings, similar to a butterfly that's got the sort of four spectrums of their wings, into different areas, into the technology side, but also then into the business side, into the sort of speciality side. So understanding risk management, but then also understanding general market trends, etc. So really being embracing technology, embracing business acumen, embracing trends and analytics, and then embracing the discipline, the speciality of enterprise risk management, and really having to navigate between those different spheres is so critical.
Nicola, your journey so far has been anything but enviable. I mean, we could envy the kind of experiences that you've had. What suggestions or what guidance would you give to people who are listening as a way forward for being women leaders in technology?
Thanks so much, Supriya. It's really lovely to be able to share these thoughts with you. And I'm just thinking, one of the things that really strikes me as something that's really phenomenal is the fact that it's the first time in the history of humankind that we've actually got all five different generations together in the workplace. So this includes the silent generation, which is the guys that went through the horrible years of war across the globe. The baby boomers just after the war, where everyone just had lots of children. And I'm thinking my parents are part of that generation. Those are the guys that started working at a company during the Industrial Revolution, and they just stayed with that company from start till end, and were just so committed to the businesses that they worked for. And then the Gen Xs that have really been sort of at the starting stages of technology, and the millennials like myself that have really sort of grown up in an era where we've got cell phones now and we've got the internet and everything's connecting us. But we still remember the days when TV used to go off. There was only a certain amount of hours that it was on. And then the Gen Zs that are just really have been born in an era of technology and don't know what it would be like to not have it. And those are the five generations that are currently actively working in the workplace. And if we think about human race age expectancy as well, I mean, the fact that we're being expected to turn 100 years old or even older, they've already said that the individual that will turn 200 years old has already been born. So our work life has become so much longer. And I think for me, what's really important is to consciously be aware of these different generations, where people have come from, and be very focused on your emotional intelligence. We often focus on our IQ and we focus on numbers and analytics and all those sorts of things. And what's actually so important to make things work in a workplace, because technology can automate all those things that we use our brains to do, the IQ, simple simple pieces of work. But technology can't bring in that emotional intelligence of trying to understand all the different generations, the value add, the different perspectives, the diversity in the room. And for me, that's critical, is making sure that you embrace that and that there's no right or wrong. It's different perspectives, and you can get so much value in bringing all those different individuals into the room. So for me, that's it's a key lesson. And I continuously make sure that I skill myself up in terms of the different generations, have conversations, understand different perspectives, listen, share thoughts, and be able to bring your thoughts to the table, but carry your thoughts not in a too, so carry them, strong views held lightly is the sort of notion of the concept, because otherwise you just can't have a space for collaboration.
Absolutely. I mean, Nicola, it's beautifully, beautifully put by you when you said that, yes, we are at that that corner of evolution, that we have five generations of people who are with us, and there is so much to carry forward and look into. And the next generation that today is, you know, kind of born at, when technology is so much at the forefront, there's so much that we need to learn and inculcate and kind of understand from how do we move forward. And like you said, probably we can have robotics to replace your IQ, but it's your emotional quotient that's very, very important. So that was very, very beautifully put, Nicola. Thank you so very much for those interesting thoughts and sharing excerpts from your journey and experience. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I'm sure our listeners will find this session to be interesting and useful.
Great. Thanks so much for the lovely conversation. And I look forward to having future conversations with you.
Absolutely. To all our listeners, thank you for being part of this podcast. I hope you enjoyed this as much as we did in putting it together. Stay tuned for another interesting conversation coming up in this series. Until then, stay safe and stay inspired.
Bye.
Bye, Nicola. Thank you.
Thanks so much.